I mean, most of you guys know me and from around here, but the reality is it's been 2 years since I've been home last, so it's been a little while, and actually just celebrated 10 years that I've been over there. It's been in 2004, January is when I, June 2004, I joined staff over there. So it's just been 10 years that I've been there, and the last year has been one of our biggest since traveling over there, just in what we've been able to see and what we've been able to do. I mean, being over there 10 years, we now have now been married for 7 and have three fantastic kids who are 4, 2, and 6 months. So we're excited to bring, we're actually going to bring them home in Christmas time. So hopefully you all get to see them then. We couldn't quite make it work to bring them all now, but we'll be back and I'll be back with them in next month, actually, so, which is quite exciting. But I think, you know, some of the things that I, as I share this morning, it's not like can share about the last 10 years and where we've been, and I'll certainly do that some. But I think what I'm most excited about is not where we've been and what we've done, but what we're going into and what we'll be able to do. We've certainly been laying the foundations for a long time for the expansion of what we're going to do. And yeah, it's quite exciting. I think before I go into what we're doing, though, I wanted to put it in a little bit of context of history and where we're at. Because we really are in an exciting time in the development of the nation and of the world and where we're at in Christianity and the growth of that. I think if you're looking back over history, 100 A.D., so what, 70 years after Jesus had gone, there's one Christian on the world for every 360 that were had no knowledge, no faith in Christ. So you're gone, there's 1 to 360, you talk about that. You fast forward to A.D., you know, about 1,000, that number had increased to about 1 in every 270. So for every Christian in the world, there was 270 who didn't believe, didn't have access to the faith or whatever. In the next 500 years, you saw a rapid growth where it was one Christian to every 85. So for every 85. And that trend continued in the early, so the 1900s, it was 1 to every 21. You fast forward another 70 years to 1970, and it was 1 to every 13. The year 2000, it was about 1 to every 9. And currently, today, it's about 1 to every 2 or 1 to every 3. So you think about in the context of society, in the context of our world, in the context of where things are at, you go, we all can see the challenges in what you do, but also you see this incredible change, particularly in the course of Christianity, as more and more people have access to the faith, and more people have access to it. There has never been, in the course of history, more Christians around the world than there is today. Which today numbers about 2 billion people, which is quite exciting. You think about it, you put that in the context of, so this journey that started, you know, before Jesus, but really the Christian journey that as followers of Christ about 2,000 years ago, there really has been quite a rapid growth and quite a rapid change. The other thing that's quite exciting, I think, is as we work into Papua New Guinea and that, you talk with Wycliffe, who's been doing Bible translation. And I remember thinking back to when I was, you know, a kid in church, and you often hear about Bible translation, and you'd hear about, you know, Wycliffe and what they were doing. And in some ways, you think this stuff is the unending task, and you go, well, we'll continue to be translating Bibles for the next 500, 600 years. Currently, I think there's still about 3,000 to 4,000 languages that have yet to be started. And 5 years ago, they were looking at, they said, by the year 2150, we'll have every language in the world started and underway. There'll be some form of translation that'll be happening in that language and all the remaining languages in the world. So that was giving us, you know, and you're going to, by the 2150, not many of us will be alive still unless we are. Medicine improves significantly. I certainly probably will not plan to be around 2150. But some of the things that you've been able to see and some of the things we've been able to see change, on the current trends with the change in technology and some of that, they're saying by a few years ago, they were saying by the year 2038, we'll be able to have every language in the world started. Which I'm like, you're going fantastic. And now just recently, they have a name for by the year 2025 to have every language in the world started with Bible translation. So if your calling is to be a Bible translator, you better start training. You better get onto it now, because in the next generation, this is not going to be their challenge. That'll be a challenge that was faced and accomplished and achieved by our generation, which is fantastic as you look at the course of history. And you go, what is that? Because one of the books, the founder of YWAM, Warren Cunningham, has a book that talks about, it's the book that transformed nations. And you talk about how society is built and the precepts upon society in which it's founded, as they align to the foundational truths in God's Word, they often see tremendous uptick in their whole society. You see, during the Dark Ages in Christianity, you also saw what corresponded with that was not much growth in the scientific field. You know, as people align themselves to the truth of God's Word, there's often development and uptick in a lot of other fields. Because you see that as people align themselves to God's truth and God's Word, you see great benefit throughout society. You know, one of the things that we've been talking about in what we do is John 10:10. And it says, simple message, it says, I have come that they may have life and life to the full. And in the midst of all that we do, Christianity is not just about one aspect of our life. It's about God allowing God to go, let's see all aspects of our life and let's see that all align to Christianity, whether that be in our family, in our education, in our government and healthcare spheres, and going, how do we look after people? How do we care for people? How do we, you know, because God's heart is for people. So it's, as you look at what we do in the context, that's just one context of where we're at, you know, globally in missions and that sort of thing. We just had a conference with people, with Wycliffe, SIL, and a lot of mission organizations who are working in PNG, and they're going, how are we going to do this? Of the three areas in the world that have the largest amount of translation, it's Africa. There's significant languages to overcome. There's some of the Southeast Asia where there's a lot of languages. And then there's Papua New Guinea. And those are some of the three major hubs left for Bible translation. And as you guys know, one of our major focuses has been into Papua New Guinea. So we've had the actual incredible privilege of working with some of these organizations and helping provide access with our medical ship to remote villages where they can study and learn the languages and they can help translate the Bible. Because one of the things that we want to do is, one of our motivations is that we think everybody should have access to the Christian faith. You know, none of us can make anybody respond to the Christian faith. It's up to them and their understanding. But it's the opportunity for them to understand, and the opportunity for them to hear that the gospel that's important. Because it's, you know, at the end of the day, the scripture says, you know, some are entitled to plant, some are entitled to water, some harvest. But at the end of the day, it's God who makes all of our seeds grow. So in the midst of what we do. So one of our things that we look at in what we do, we've redefined a lot of what we do at YWAM Townsville. And we've come back to four main terms: care, connect, serve, and build. And what we do is accompanied into those words. It's going, one, how do we care for people in all the aspects of what we do? How do we connect them to the resources they need to develop their communities? How do we connect them to information so they can understand the gospel and respond to it? How do we connect them in relationally with each other? You know, how do we serve them to help them have a better outcome, quality of life? And how do we build capacity in them to expand and do that in other people? So, you know, one of the things that we've been able to develop and to be able to do is that we all have God-given gifts and abilities. You know, even as we prayed for the three kids this morning, that God, you know, the God gives each one of us unique skills and unique giftings. He gives each one of us purpose and destiny and calling. You know, some people have able to define that and refine that and walk into that. But the reality is each one of us has unique giftings. And I think one of the, you know, it's probably one of the tragedies that we've seen throughout Christianity is that callings and giftings, we've kind of sometimes narrowed them down into a box that fits into, you know, a church. So you got your pastor, you've got your missionary, you've got your Sunday school teacher, and beyond that, sometimes we haven't really developed the other callings and the other giftings in the spheres of education and the spheres of healthcare and the spheres of government, and that we've separated that out from our walk as Christians. But the reality is we all have callings, we all have giftings. And, you know, if we're in business, we're in healthcare, we're in education, it's going, how do we help develop that to achieve the outcome we want as a society? How do we use that to really help shape and mold and encourage and challenge and strengthen people in what we do? You know, some of the things that we realized as we've been doing, about 5 years ago when we took on the medical ship, we started branching out with more partnerships throughout Townsville. You know, YWAM Townsville has been operating for the last 22, 23 years in Townsville. Started back then, it was about five people with a small rented house on the corner and a vision to help young people. And they had to struggle and work to make that function and operate. And now we have about 115 staff and campus in the middle of the CBD that we're developing and operating. But about 5 years ago, we had a developer come to us, and he said, what you guys do is fantastic. We began to share with him about some of the youth work that we were doing in schools. We began to share with him about some of the opportunities that we had in training and doing the camps and the seminars for youth. And he goes, this is fantastic. He says, this is what our community needs. Our community needs this foundation as part of a fabric of the society and of the community. He says, if you're not providing this, you know, who provides the opportunities for youth to find, you know, a positive environment where they're not feeling pressured, where they're not feeling, you know, bullied, or they have that peer pressure from drugs and alcohol and, you know, suicides. In Australia is one of the highest rates in the world. And he goes, and as a businessman in the community, he's actually quite concerned for some of these things. But he said, you know, some of what you do, he said, you haven't communicated broadly enough, and you haven't invited partnerships in to help you do that. So as we began to develop and do that, we began to see of how do we utilize the strength of some of the other spheres of society to really strengthen what we do and move it forward. So we began to work with him, as well as numbers of different officials to help us move what we're doing forward. Because at the end of the day, it's going, how do we help more people? How do we help assist people, you know, and developing them and developing those giftings inside of them? One of the scriptures in YWAM that they often refer back to is, it's out of the Old Testament. It says, when God is speaking to Abraham, he says, I blessed you to be a blessing. And they go, that's the fundamental call of missions, is you're blessed to be a blessing. And you break it down like that, it makes it a pretty easy explanation for what you're to do, you know? God's blessed each one of us, whether it be with business, whether it be with different skills, and you're going, how do you extend that to other people? That at the core is, that at its very basic is the most fundamental thing of missions. And you can do that wherever you are, and no matter how far you go. So, you know, as you look at your life and your opportunity, where are the areas that you have blessed, where are the areas that you've been blessed, and how do you extend that? Thank you. So some of what we've been able to do over that, we've had the former Speaker of the Queensland Parliament has become our patron for the ship. We also have the PNG, a former Prime Minister of PNG, who's the PNG patron for the ship, which has really helped take us to another level that we need to help the people in PNG. Because the reality is, none of us can do it on our own. You know, in the midst of what we do, in the midst of the 10 years that I've been there, it's obvious that I can't do it on my own. You know, we now married with three kids. And when I first went down there, I said, I'll go for a year and a half because I'd saved up enough money to last me for a year and a half working with my dad. And I couldn't see beyond that at that time of how I could do it, because I couldn't do it on my own. And that's where, you know, this community rallies together and helps support us in what we do. So all that we share about is, they're all your stories. These are all what you're involved with, what you're doing. You know, we're a small piece in the picture. We're a very small piece in a very large picture. You know, we also have been working with one of the guys working with the ship is one of the largest dental providers in Australia. So he owns one of the largest dental companies in Australia with practices all over the state of Queensland. And God's blessed this guy. He's a Christian guy with a large business and a well-diverse, you know, business practice. And he's been going, okay, how do I utilize my business? I've been blessed in this area. How do I utilize my business and my giftings to help serve another nation? So he's been going up every year to PNG and providing dental work on the ship, but he's also been using his influence to expand that, to work in, so he's set us up with partnerships with some of the largest dental providers in the world to help fund the ship. So in the midst of it all, I think, you know, as we talk about it, one of the things that I want to encourage each one of us is, you go, you know, well, sometimes we belittle and we look at our own gifts and go, well, what I have to offer is so small. And I certainly feel that way. You know, some ways I tell people, they go, oh, well, where did you come from? And I said, oh, I grew up 3 miles outside of a town of 93 people. And they go, you know, people go, oh, I came from the middle of nowhere. And you go, oh, where'd you come from? You go, oh, there's only about 300,000 people there. And I go, oh, yeah. I said, you don't know where the middle of nowhere is then. But, you know, what's somebody who's worked in the construction industry in Rusk County, Wisconsin, you know, worked on a farm, what does he have to do with helping shape lives in PNG? And certainly, 10 years ago, I never would have thought I would have had the opportunity to do what we're doing. But yet, we're helping. I would get to be a small part of helping to make a difference in PNG. In the last 5 years in PNG, we've been able to deliver 249,000 services in PNG. So just on 250,000 services in PNG that we've been able to help deliver and see. And that just comes from responding to God and from going, you know what, I'm going to do a 6-month training course, and that's about as far as I can see at the moment. And a year and a half later, I said, you know what, I'm going to do a year and a half, I can see that far, and this is how far I can do, and I committed to doing that. And each stage, God continued to develop me to take the next step. And even certainly at this point, it's about going, it's not about seeing, you know, far off into the future, but I think in one of the verses I love is out of Psalms that, you know, a man can chart his course, but the Lord directs his steps. And the verse that says, God's word is a light unto my feet, a lamp unto my step. You know, it's something that shows you and reveals that next step to you. But I think the opportunity for us as we go, it's, you need to be moving. You know, one of the things that we've operated a medical ship up in the PNG, and as that ship comes into port, I always get very, very nervous seeing that thing dock. You've got something that weighs 300 ton, and here it is coming into dock. And I don't know if you ever had much to do with boats or with ships, they can be incredibly hard to maneuver on the water, particularly our ship. It's got one thruster at the rear, and that's all you've got for control. So you see this thing coming in. And it's incredibly, at slow speeds when it's moving, when it's coming in, it's incredibly hard to maneuver. You know, we have to get tugboats in to make sure that if the wind catches it or something, that it can push the boat, keep the boat off the shore, keep it from slamming into the wharf as it comes in. And you know, it's one of these things that you do. Once the ship's underway, it's very easy to steer. It's very easy to turn. And I think the same is for each of us in our lives. You know, sometimes we feel like when we're standing still, it feels like, oh, it's so difficult to understand what we're doing. But as we continue to move forward in what God's called us to, it becomes easier to navigate and direct that. Because when we're moving, it allows God to, you know, like a ship, that ship, when it's underway, it's very easy to maneuver, very easy to steer. But stationary can become quite difficult. I might show you, I'll talk a little bit more about what we're doing specifically, but I'll show you this video about the ship and what we've been able to achieve in the last 5 years. It's called Overcoming Impossible. That's the name of our current campaign. So we'll pull that up, and then I'll share a bit more.
I've been coming up to Papua New Guinea since 2007, and I've travelled a lot throughout this country, but right here in the Bama region, it's definitely the poorest region I've seen. Even when people do find the means and the ways to get to these clinics, they arrive there and there's just no supplies anyway.
There's no hospitals around there, no aid post. Most of them are not educated so that they can't be able to look after themselves.
The health challenges in the Western province are enormous. We have some of the lowest health indicators. When I came to office, I was overwhelmed.
The excuse for the tyranny of distance, terrain, and remoteness are used to explain why around 6 million men, women, and children in Papua New Guinea don't get the basic services they need. It is an excuse, but not a justification.
My small sister died because she was laboring on the ground. They never take them to the hospital.
We used to drink water from the river. Some of the children would get diarrhea. They used to die.
It was one thing to hear statistics, but to come here and look into the eyes of a child who's going unconscious with malaria has really touched my heart.
Seeing how my people are really suffering, it really affected me and really changed something in my heart.
There definitely needs to be a lot more dentists in the country. Most of the dental problems actually faced by people who can't get access to services. And so if you have a toothache and to travel 1 week, I just can't imagine that.
There's some unacceptable health inequalities in the world, and we have the opportunity to make a difference.
Change in Papua New Guinea is not impossible. Already we've reached 594 villages, delivered 180,680 health and training services, and upskilled 551 health workers with our current ship, the MV Pacific Link. A new ship will help us reach further upriver, across more provinces, with more volunteers, and for longer lengths of time, increasing our work by over 500%. This means 1.3 million people, a quarter of the nation, would have access to healthcare, immunizations, and health training. The ship will operate as a mothership. Patrol tenders will be launched from the vessel to reach extremely remote coastal communities with essential health and training services. The new vessel's operating theatre, dental clinic, outpatient medical and surgical facility and lecture rooms will treat isolated villages in desperate need and train and upskill healthcare workers, medical students and dentistry students to help PNG develop their own nation. An onboard laboratory will diagnose and treat disease and give access to help world-class experts develop new strategies to see long-term change and development to beat infectious disease.
I look at these strong babies trying to fight off an infection, and I see all over their face, I want to live. And I work with the community health worker serving in this community, and I see I want to live written on them. And it draws out of me this strong cry that I think unifies all of us. that we want to live.
Will you help Papua New Guinea overcome the impossible?
So that's a bit of what you guys have been a part of in the last 5 years. You know, certainly as Rebecca and I stay there and help carry that, like, this is your story. This is what, you know, the stories that we tell are the stories you tell. And who would have thought little Jump River would have a part to play in helping change and shape the nation of PNG? You know, the scripture talks about, you know, whoever delivers a cup of cold water in my name will certainly not lose their reward. And, you know, in some ways that's what we're doing, is providing. You know, what's God saying? He's saying people have physical needs that need addressing. People have physical needs that need to be cared for. And you guys have had a part to play in that. You know, some of the stories that we tell, some of them are just astounding. You know, 249,000 services. And some of those would be training and upskilling health workers. In 2011, I was in a village, and their healthcare worker hadn't received any training in 33 years. Hadn't received any input, training, and development. And you go, 33 years, you start backtracking. And you go, this guy's trained in the 80s. And, like, what are the challenges that he faces? What are some of the things that he do? You know, on that same outreach, we were able to, one of our doctors had flown in from Dubai, identified a disease that had supposedly been eradicated out of PNG, and essentially people would get sores on their body that would continue to rot and fester until it started eating the bone. Simple penicillin shot is all it needed, you know, particular strain of penicillin. And this doctor was able to train those health workers to identify it and also identify the cure for it. So a simple penicillin shot was able to help cure this disease. We had last year on outreach, we had one guy who'd been in to see the dentist in Port Moresby for a procedure, had his jaw wired shut, tried to get back in to see the dentist, couldn't, you know, after days of waiting in line, went back to his village with his jaw wired shut. It had been there for 2 or 3 months when we got there. And the dentist that we had on board had never done the procedure before, was able to video conference in with someone who had, and have this guy's jaw wired. So these are some of the realities that these guys are facing in PNG. We had come across people who had sticks and twigs stuck in their gums from trying to break out rotten teeth that were causing them pain. So one, you know, come in and you have a tooth that fragmented into 8 sections, and some of the stuff that you have is, you know, I remember getting a sore toothache on the weekend, and I'm going, I can't wait till Monday. You're going, isn't there a dentist open? This is an emergency. We've got to get care now. And these guys don't have those opportunities. They don't have those options. So one of the things that we've been able to do, you would have saw one of the governors on there. We had a fundraiser on board the medical ship, the MV Emery, the new ship that we're pursuing. And to hear the governor of their village, you know, they said, I'm new to politics. I've been here. You know, I came into politics because I wanted to help change my nation. I wanted to help my province and help the people. And in 2 years, they were confronted by the reality of what one man can do. You know, they said, here he is, he's one of the most influential people in his province. But he goes, it takes a community, it takes a broad team of people to see change. He says, I can implement the best policies in the world, but he said, unless the healthcare workers on the ground have been trained and equipped, and, you know, if they don't feel like waking up and filling out a form, or the person delivering the healthcare decides that they can't be bothered to put it on a truck or to put it on a boat to get to the villages. He says, at the end of the day, somebody comes down from the mountains or the valleys, comes into a rural health center, and the services just aren't there. So one of the things that a lot of what we've been able to do is provide critical feedback to the PNG government on where some of the needs are. We've been able to help deliver health care, been able to help connect the dots in a lot of areas. There's water tanks that have been placed in villages that have still don't have access because they're missing a $2 tap. And you're going, you have this health care, you have this, and you're going, how do we provide, we can help provide some of those things to provide the gaps of gone. What are the outcomes? What do we need to do? Where are the gaps in what you're doing? And we adapt in our services to help meet that. We had a story, you know, our campaign is rightly called Overcoming the Impossible. Bill Gates has said that PNG is one of the most difficult places in the world to deliver healthcare because of the remoteness and the tremendous terrain of that country. It goes from mountains to hills to where we go, there's no roads. It's just that the riverways are the roads. So we access it by medical ship and go in there and provide access to just rural communities. You know, in PNG, you saw the statistic that 5 women die during childbirth every day. Where we are based in Townsville, we're a 2-hour flight. It's closer for us to get to PNG than it is to get to our capital city, which is Brisbane. But yet 2 hours away is some of the worst, more worst health in the world. And we have the opportunity to go in there and help provide not just access to the gospel, but a full range of going, how do we help develop your community? How do we help strengthen and equip you guys to really see change? One of the stories that I love is about a young girl that we met last year in the Western province. She had her and her family, her and her husband and her 3 kids traveled for 2 weeks by dugout canoe because they heard what the ship was going to be there. They had hoped that there might be some help for them, so they got in their dugout canoe. They traveled for 2 weeks. They arrived at the ship. This girl was about 30 years old. She had a condition from birth that caused her to go blind by the time she was completely blind by the time she was 20. And she'd been blind for 10 years, had cataracts, couldn't see, no vision. And with 2 30-minute surgeries, we were able to restore sight over a period of 2 days. And this girl that had been blind for 10 years had been able to have her sight restored. She saw her 3 kids for the first time and went from someone who had no hope to someone who had overcome an impossible challenge in their life. With the ship at the moment, we still have a bit of a challenge to overcome to see that the new ship become a reality. The cost of the new ship is $6.5 million, and we've raised $2.3 million of that so far. So we've got another $4.2 million to go. We're working through a few different banks and that to have some bridging finance while we continue to raise the rest of that. And that's due on December 4th, so a month from now. So we've got to secure some of that. And a part of that, you go, it's an impossible challenge. It's something, but it's all about perspective and what you look at and what you see. For me, it's sometimes you feel quite daunting and go, how in the world do I get the opportunity to be a part of this? How in the world do we get the opportunity to be a part of this? But we have an incredible hope, incredible belief that we're going to be able to see things come through and working through the details of that. But it'll provide the opportunity for a lot of people over the next couple of years. Once that ship's in operation, we're going to be able to help service 200,000 people a year. Providing access to the 1.3 million people in the southern 6 provinces. So it is exciting. I think the next 5-10 years will be quite the change. In the Townsville campus and what we've been able to do, we currently have 115 full-time volunteer staff, which is a miracle in itself. You know, you think of 115 people that have given up everything from 1 year of their lives up to, you know, Ken and Robin, the director, they've been there for 25 years. And we just had an honoring night where I was honored for being there for 10 years. I had the privilege of doing that alongside three other incredible people that have been doing it for 10 years, another one that was honored for 5 years. And we're really starting to see longevity in what we do. It really is, we really are developing and going a new season. We've just transitioned into a new campus in the CBD as well last year. So we've undertaken two major changes. That comprises a whole city block in the middle of the city. We worked that through with the Townsville City Council to be able to, because they go, we love what you do. We love that you're here to help young people in our city. And we see that as vital to the development of the CBD. We see that as vital to the development of our community, and we want to support that. So we, you know, worked through a commercial agreement with them to be able to have lease these facilities for the next 70 years. The facilities are 3.5 times what we previously owned and about 33% bigger than what we were in. It's just a massive opportunity. We're in the process. Part of the reason I wasn't able to come and stay this time and bring the whole family now is because we're in the process of finishing off an accommodation facility for 270 young people in the city. So that'll be, that's been a large project that's, I don't know the size of it because I'm in meters now, so I'm kind of stuck there. So won't mean much, I don't think. It's about 2,500 square meters, so it's a large facility that we'll be able to provide opportunity for that. This year, we've also developed partnerships with our local rugby club, which would be, similar over there. It'd be, if you compared it, it'd be like the NFL. So we've worked with our complete, not on that big of a scale. Australia's only got 20 million people, so everything's on a bit smaller of a scale. But we've worked through with them, and we've done school seminars, school programs with them that have reached 4,000 youth this year on everything from binge drinking and substance abuse to bullying. And it's gone, how do we continue to provide that message to kids that there's an opportunity? We've had the opportunity to work with a lot of young guys in the that are starting out in the construction industry with this development progress. And it's funny, you talk to the people that are training them and they say, you know what, these kids are rough. They're going to be coming in swearing and carrying on, and they're rough kids. And they come in and they work on site and they work alongside some of our guys. And, you know, relatively, we don't have many problems. We don't hear much language. We don't hear all this, and we're going. And at the end of the time, you catch up with these young kids and they go, you know what? It's really encouraging to be in an environment where you feel like you have value, where you feel like you have worth, where it's not where, you know, where you have the opportunity to try something. It doesn't feel like you're being pushed to the side. And so you have these kids that, you know, they're going, no, they're rough kids. And they're just kids that want an environment. They want an opportunity to develop. They want somebody to actually, you know, that cares for them, that looks out for them. So we have the incredible opportunity of doing a lot more than what we've ever done. And, you know, as you look at it, it's about perspective. It's about how do we help care for people in Townsville and in PNG, and how do we continue to provide a platform for people to be engaged to finding their purpose and finding their destiny. And finding fulfillment in what they do. So I think we do, in our current stage and where we're at, we have an incredible opportunity to be involved in missions. You know, that, as I've already stated, you know, this missions at its basic is that you're blessed to be a blessing. You know, for each of us, where have we been blessed and how can we extend that to others? We're talking about an incredible change in missions. As you look at engaging worldwide, there's another incredible opportunity. The face of missions is changing. Lauren talks about Lauren in his early days saw a vision of young people going to the nations, and his one of the basic things is the vision of a wave. And he says, you know what, there's another wave coming, and it's bigger, and it continues to continues to expand. There's more opportunity than ever before for Christians to engage in helping shape their nation, certainly in PNG. We have MOUs signed with the 6 southern regions. We have MOUs signed with the Department of Health. We have MOUs signed, so there are memorandums of understanding. And in part of their memorandum of understanding, in there they go, PNG is a Christian nation. They have over 90% of the population would say that they're would say they're Christian, recognize themselves as Christian. But they have an incredible need, you know, as you talk about the discipling nations. What does it look like to see that affect and permeate every area of society, every area? And they, in those MOUs, they say, we recognize the need for health care. We recognize the need for what we're doing. We also want to see Christianity continue in what you do. We want to see that Christian influence, your Christian influence specifically, we want to see that continue in our region. We want to see that develop and grow and expand. And we want you to, as part of providing for the health of the community, we want you to do health care, yes. We want you to help look after their spiritual needs as well, yes. We ultimately need your help. So I think hopefully I haven't skimmed over too much or gone through, but that's just, it's an incredible season, incredible opportunity. We're grateful for you guys to be a part. And I encourage you, you know, even this morning as you go, as you're prompted and as you go, take that next step of what you feel God's calling you to do. Continue to move, continue to transition into it. Because as you follow him, you'll be surprised at what opens up as you continue to go. So thank you very much. If you have any questions, love to answer them afterwards.